Susie, we're having this continual lovely little series of reminders to New Zealanders. There is so much to savour about life, to love about this country, to cherish in each other. There's a lot to live for. And I just feel we need to get away from all this fear-mongering and all the worries and all the things that people are dreading into some joy. So I want to tell you a little story to begin this week's one. I went for a long drive with two friends, and one of them has really turned her life around, and she's just brimming over with health. I mentioned her in our first little one in this podcast series. And so we were talking about health, and it was so inspiring, that hour and a half drive, that I went home and I went, oh, I don't want to nibble at 9 o'clock at night in stress about what's going on in the world. I want to go to bed and I want to have some water instead. And I've just been quietly doing little changes like that, little tweaks. And in 2 days, I'm not kidding, I'm feeling so much better. Why? Why could I turn my life around just with little tiny tweaks of health hacks, you could say?
Well, because everything is just little, and the big things are really culminations of little things. So you talked about two things there. Number one, not nibbling at night. Yeah. So when you go to sleep, which should be your repair time, you can either digest or you can repair. Which do you think's better for you?
Repair.
Yeah. So if you're eating late at night every night, you're going to be digesting and you don't have the energy to repair. Okay. Second thing you mentioned was getting up on your water. Water makes the hugest difference to everybody. Just by starting to take in more water, you can make a huge difference to your health, because water dilutes everything. So it brings all the crap out of our bodies. And a lot of the stuff that makes people sick is the fact that stuff is not coming out of their bodies. You know, people are only pooping every 3 days rather than 30 centimeters a day of poop, which is
30 centimeters.
It can be 130, those are gold. It can be 215s or it can be 310s.
Is that the ideal?
Ideally, if you're eating a regular diet, that's the amount that people's bodies need to get rid of per day. Whereas the average person I meet is not pooping every day at all.
What happens to that food that isn't got rid of?
What do you think that happens?
Well, you look at these people with very extended bellies. Yeah. And I think it looks like they're carrying big suitcases in front of them of heavy stuff.
So if we can't get rid of something, we have to store it, right? Just like your house. If you kept everything you'd ever had and you lived in your childhood home, your house would be full to the gunnels. So you'd get rid of some of it because you don't need that stuff anymore. And to get rid of it, you'd need people power to carry it out. So your body actually needs water to dilute things, to help things come through, to clean you out.
Does that make people very tired when they're storing a lot of stuff in there, in their gut?
Absolutely.
In the colon?
Absolutely. Store a lot of stuff anywhere. If you're storing a lot of stuff in your head, you're thinking about that all the time, that's going to fatigue you. If you're holding a lot of toxins in the body, if you're holding a lot of extra weight in the body, all of these things will fatigue you because it takes more energy to carry that. If you're sitting in your incorrect posture, so if I sit in this posture for a little while, I will get a lot more tired than if I sit in a correct posture, the posture that my muscles were made to be in. Because to be in an incorrect posture takes a lot of energy from muscles that weren't made to hold me there.
Oh, explain more of that, because you've been so intriguing me that I've been leaning forward. So that's not so good.
Well, you're leaning forward in a pretty good posture. You've got a nice neutral spine with a lean. It would be very different if you were hunched over with shoulders up.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you're leaning forward. It should feel quite nice on your back.
Yeah,
I think you like to be comfy when you talk.
Yeah.
So a posture like this is absolutely fine. But sitting long term will fatigue people.
Yeah.
We're not made to be sitting all day. That is not what the human body's made for. We'd probably have a stool growing out our bums if we were supposed to, but we don't. So we need to get up more, go and do things.
So let's talk a little bit more before we move on to that about water. What is it about water that our cells need it so much? I mean, someone said to me we could go without food for maybe 2-3 months, because there are all these people panicking. What if we had food shortages? Whereas I think, well, I know my body could go for 2-3 months, it'd be fine, but I couldn't go without water? Could I?
Generally not, and not for more than a few days. That's a real challenge for people. As I said, water dilutes. So every process we have in our body requires dilution, and that's what we use it for. So when we do start taking in enough water, a lot of changes happen. And I've seen clients do this over the past more than 20 years, and they always come in, they come in and I go, oh, water metabolism's not working, or you're not doing this, how much water are you drinking? And they go, oh, does coffee count? Nope, coffee doesn't count. And often they're drinking maybe a glass a day. Some people don't drink any. They have energy drinks, coffee. Oh, I drink 15 green teas. Well, the water in the tea is used to dilute the tea. So you actually just need some water, and preferably it's not tap water with chlorine and fluoride, which are neurotoxins. Preferably it's just good old fashioned water. And I tell them, okay, this is how we're going to do it. We're going to get your water plan. Every morning when you get up, you're going to sit outside on your deck and you're going to look at that beautiful tree you love, and you're going to slowly sip and swirl that water so the enzymes in your mouth know what's coming. And on your way to work, you've said it's half an hour. We're going to try and get the second half litre done. And during the day at work, you're going to try and get this much done, and this is how we're going to do it. And they come back a week later, and like you said, you look different to last time I saw you. You've just started not eating late and drinking water. When I see clients a week later, they come in and they say, okay, I'm not making this much, but I have been drinking a lot more. They look different. They feel different. They're sleeping better. All sorts of benefits from it.
Definitely,
and
more
and
energy.
And considering that, you know, I mean, mostly, probably at an atomic level, mostly your space. But after that, you're mostly bacteria. That's fun, isn't it? Don't lie in bed at night and think about that. And after that, you're mostly water. So a huge amount of you is water, and therefore the quality of water you drink is going to make the quality of you, which is the quality of your thoughts and the quality of your gut. And the amount you drink, how often do you want to replenish it? Do you want to be a stagnant little pool that no one's ever changing the water on? Or do you want to be a beautiful, lively stream that's getting fresh mountain-fed water every day?
And you mentioned energy drinks. It always makes me feel sad when I see people drinking those V's and those energy drinks. And I don't know quite why that is. It just feels like it's a very toxic way to get fluids in the body. Does, if you drink one of those, do you need water, more water to water that down, the effect of that?
Yeah. A lot. I mean, you're looking at drinks that are stimulants.
Yeah.
And so it's like people who need a lot of coffees to get through the day. I mean, sometimes I've had people who have 10 to 15 coffees a day just to get by. And you've got to ask yourself, why do I need a stimulant to get by? Do I need a stimulant to get by in my life because I'm not actually enjoying my life that much? Mm. You know, I've been so grateful in my life to meet so many different people and for them to share their stories with me. And something I have learned is that a lot of people who look like they're doing very well, they're atop this, they're very well respected, it's everything their parents and everyone else could ever dream of. They've got the money, they've got the house, they've got the cars, they've got this and this. Are they happy and enjoying their lives? No, not at all. They're living their lives for others. What others' expectations are, mm-hmm. To keep up an appearance, to support other people, to whatever it might be. And that's what they're doing. So if you are living a life that internally you know is not really what you want to be doing, but you're now trapped in this life you've created for yourself, that's how you feel, what do? You need some stimulation, don't you? So things like coffees, things like energy drinks, anything that's a boost is going to give you that stimulation to feel something. If you're not really passionate, engaged about your life, you need to feel something, don't you? So people do all sorts of crazy things. Some people cut themselves to feel something.
Yeah.
Some people have drama, create drama to feel something. If you're not really passionate about your life and who you are and who you're becoming, you might need a bit of stimulation, right?
And the thing about that, Susie, it becomes a vicious cycle, because then you just need the coffee a week later that you've been having every day five times. You now need it to even begin to feel normal in any way. It's not even giving you a hit, is it? It's a bit like a drug. Where do you stand on coffee? I'm very
conflicted on coffee?
I've never done well with coffee.
Really?
I would assume it's because being that I was adopted as a baby and had a 16-year-old birth mother who was in high stress about her family situations and what was happening, I was built in a vat of stress hormone, no doubt. So I was always that kid who I felt better when I was doing dangerous things. I'll jump out of that tree, I'll climb up that, I'll, you know, right into my 20s. And probably still have an affinity for more dangerous sports. But I had to realise that I felt more normal in a stress situation. Mm. So a roller coaster that may scare others, I feel like I would go to sleep on, because that takes me back to my mother's womb.
Wow, that's right? fascinating.
So given that, I always had a very high adrenal output, so I don't believe I have a lot to make adrenaline left in me. Given that I always had a very high adrenal output and was able to do a lot with my early life, for sure, coffee didn't ever sit well with me. So two or three times in my life I tried it and it spat me back out. I did once in Vegas. I think I'd flown over, I'd been up all night, I was waiting for friends, couldn't get into the hotel room. Oh, coffee keeps you awake. I tried some coffee and I didn't like it, so I put more sugar in until my spoon was standing up. Tried to choke it down, did not feel well. So I've had a couple of experiences with coffee. So luckily for me, and I feel very grateful for it, it has never sat with me.
What does coffee do to the body? What is it doing?
There's a lot of interesting information. Now, I'm not a fan of bagging things that people love, because I have friends that absolutely, they're down to one morning coffee, it's organic, they have no sugar, it's black, and they love it. They love the ritual, they love the process, they love everything about it. And it's so much joy in that coffee. And they've got themselves down to one. And I'm like, well, how can that be wrong? Like, live a good life, be happy about it. Don't feel bad about it. It'll be fine. There are some studies that show it can constrict blood vessels. And so it can limit our thinking and our critical and logical thought patterns. It can put us into that sympathetic overdrive. So that fight, flight, freeze, or please. And it can certainly dehydrate the body as well. Yeah. So if I was talking to someone who was a teenager who was like, yeah, I'm going to have coffee like my mum, I'd pull them aside and have a chat and say, you know what, if you could get by without this coffee, and think how well coffee's placed in every TV show and every ad and every movie. So it seems like we'd grown up, like we're having a beer after a hard day's work. And again, these are all programs. If I have, you know, and I've certainly said to my teenager, just don't get on it. It's not something you need to get on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's really
I'm not a big
powerful.
Fan of ripping away stuff people love, but have a think in moderation. And absolutely, if you want that one beautiful coffee a day and savour that, do that and fill your boots and make it the best quality you can. But don't be having it going, oh, it's so bad for me. You know, if you're doing things and you know they're bad and you're still doing them, that will have a terrible effect on the body. Whereas if you're like, meh, it's one piece of cake, yeah, it's one coffee.
Yes.
I really enjoy it, and I have enough good thoughts in my life, and I do enough good things for myself that it's not going to make a difference. Then you'll be fine.
I loved the image of waking in the morning, sitting out in the sun with the... I love the sun on my head, and I want to ask you about the sun and the role the sun does. But sipping a water, actually savouring it in my mouth. I was saying to a friend yesterday who eats quite fast, I said to him, if you can take in food and just keep it in your mouth for a bit longer and chew it and feel the textures and really be aware of that food before you swallow it, instead of that kind of, you know, thing that you see a lot of people who are looking anxious nowadays are eating very fast. But I said to him, the saliva works on the food in the mouth. Is it the same with water?
Yeah, it is. There's an old saying, I think it was originally an old Chinese saying, something around chew your drink and drink your food.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's an old thing. It's actually Paul Check in the Czech Institute, Dr. Cliff Oliver, these guys talk about it a lot, and it's in all their basic holistic courses, which are phenomenal because it'll teach you how to be healthy, how to be well. Just like you had an amazing car ride with an amazing human who just told you what she'd done, little bit she'd done, you instituted some of those, and 2 days later you're feeling $1 million. These guys have always talked about it. You know, you've got all the enzymes in your mouth, and the enzymes are really what start taking things apart. So the digestive process starts in the mouth, but it's also what tells the gut what's coming. So if you have water and you go glug, 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 it hits the gut goes, what? Oh, and then it's through. So if you are peeing a lot from water, it's either that you have a lot of toxicity come out, a lot of dilution required, or you're just not actually metabolizing it. Just because you put it in, it doesn't mean your body can use it in that form. The same with food. I saw a study years ago, and I think it was like a med school study someone had done, and they said the average person that they studied took 3 bites before they swallowed, no matter what it was, jelly or a burger. So imagine in your hand you've got a burger. Pick it up, put it in your mouth, take 1 bite, take another bite, chomp, 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 now swallow.
Oof.
How big is that, right?
That would be horrible.
So the average person is taking 3 bites before they swallow, and your gut doesn't know what's coming. So if you're going to have food, you may as well get the most nutrition you can out of your food and actually metabolize it properly. For example, if you're watching TV or you're looking at a screen or you're doing something with your eyes specifically focused on a screen while you're eating, your gut's not actually allowed to work simply because of the way our nervous system works.
Oh, so explain this. This is amazing.
Imagine if we're sitting out in the jungle.
Yeah.
And we know there's tigers around somewhere. So as I'm eating, I'm keeping an eye out for my tiger just in case. If I've got my eyes on high alert, I'm on high alert, aren't I? So suddenly I'm on the accelerator. I'm in sympathetic dominance, fight, flight, freeze, or please. That's not rest, repair, digest. When I'm eating, I should be in parasympathetic. I should be able to digest my food. It should be a restful time, not a hurried or a stressful time.
But then some people might say, but that relaxes me. It turns off the day. I'm watching a TV program. I'm eating. Is that not the effect their body's receiving it as?
What it's really doing, I don't know that it's really relaxing. It may feel relaxing. What it's really doing is if you're overthinking all the crap that you have to do tomorrow and all the stuff you did today and you're replaying scenarios and worrying about things, focusing on something else will take that away. So TV will do that. People who overhelp others because they don't want to look at the, oh no, this person has that, I've got to do this for them, I'm busy, oh, I've got to clean incessantly, oh, I've got to whatever it might be. It's actually just distracting us from this. So I don't know that I would call it relaxation. Distraction may feel relaxing because what you were thinking about was quite tense. And so what you're watching on TV, it's not personal, so it's not tense. So of course that is more relaxed than what you're doing, but is that real relaxation?
That's fascinating.
You know, it takes quite a lot of work for the eyes to focus on all this sort of thing. That takes quite a lot of effort. And generally our bodies, I mean, our bodies are the same bodies they were 80,000 years ago, if and when we were living in caves. But we have a completely different lifestyle and a completely different diet and a completely different belief system, completely different ways to connect. But our bodies and our guts are still those same bodies that would eat raw meat.
You said 80,000 years ago?
Yeah.
You think that's the history of us?
I think there's a lot to history, but from my testing, yeah, the gut's been the same for at least 80,000 years.
Fascinating. Now, I mean, that's another whole conversation. What's fascinating for me right now, this period in 2023, is everything I thought I knew, I'm taking it all out and going, is this true?
I know.
Is this true?
Or have I been told? Sunscreen giving you cancer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
There's a lot of that.
Question everything is my new motto. But this is fascinating. So how would you eat in the optimal way, in the most relaxed way, in the way that's best to support your digestive system?
In relaxing surround.
What, with maybe some music or just something quiet, focusing on the food?
Doesn't have to be fantastical. You don't have to, you know, create a romantic atmosphere for your food. I like eating with friends and laughing with friends and sharing meals and sharing food tips. I love people who love food. I like smelling my food. I like making my food. I like every part of that. And I love the taste of it, so I'm going to take my time with it. And when you take your time with food, you realize how much food you've just been shoving down your gob to fill a need.
Yes, out of a packet.
Just like coffee.
Mm.
And when you start chewing your food, you realize there's some foods you don't really want to chew for that long. And they're probably foods you shouldn't be eating. So when you take your time with food, you realize what you want. You'll get sated faster. You'll get full faster. So if you feel that you overeat and you're throwing too much in, make yourself chew your food until it's liquefied and watch what happens.
And that's back to the saying, drink your food because it's liquefied by
drink
chewing it.
Drink your food and chew your drink.
That is stunning, Susie.
Easy, eh?
Where are you on the whole meat, vegetables, vegetarian, but crickets, whatever? Where are you on that spectrum?
I've tasted crickets. I didn't really like them that much. I had cricket flour. It was all right. I'm sure there's good stuff in it.
I read that insects can have quite a lot of toxins in their carapace.
There's sorts of stuff. I mean, it depends how you want to look at things. Mm. If you look at us and how we're made and what our guts are made for, the majority of us are made to take in meat as a protein source, and it is the best protein source, and vegetables as well.
Mm.
And different metabolic types will be different components of that, just like different trucks or cars have diesel or petrol or 91, 95, whatever. It's just a slightly different amount of two different factors, right?
Mm.
And they each have a role. So the role of protein is to build your body. Carbohydrates, and protein is anything that had eyes, anything from eyes. So some people say, I'm a vegetarian, I eat chicken. Well, a chicken's not a vegetable, it's an animal, therefore it is protein, it is meat. Fish, chicken, beef, doesn't matter. Meat's meat, has eyes. Yes, there's different components and nutrients involved in different animals, but it's much of a muchness. And then all your vegetables and fruit are what we call carbohydrates. Now, most people think a carbohydrate is your breads and your pastas.
Mm.
That's what we'd call a starchy carbohydrate. So a little more challenging to metabolize, okay? But carbohydrates break down into sugars. That's what they are, they're sugars. So all your fruits and vegetables are sugars and they give you energy. Remember that meat also eats carbohydrates. So all of those nutrients are still in your meat as well. Now, there are books like Metabolic Typing by William Walcott. Paul Check's book, Eat, Move and Be Healthy, lays it out even more simply. A little metabolic typing test where you talk about how you're feeling and the things you like to eat, and it will tell you what percentage of carbohydrate versus protein and fat will do well for your body. We metabolically type people all the time. Understand that when it's colder, you generally need more protein. Understand that when you're more stressed, you generally need more protein and fat. Mm. So for me, I've had a lot of clients over the years who are vegetarians or vegans. I myself went through a period of animal loving in my teens where I refused to eat meat, and it did me a disservice for at least 15 years afterwards.
In what ways?
Hormonally.
Really?
Yeah, at a very pivotal time, I decided I didn't want to eat animals. And it came from a very loving place, but I didn't put that with a very good diet. If you want to be vegan or vegetarian, it's really helpful to have an organic seed, nut, grain and legume that have all been activated, so soaked overnight in water, with every single meal you have to get your full amino acids. I think I only know one or two vegans that actually do it well. Mostly I have vegans and vegetarians come in with a lot of gut issues. And a lot of misunderstandings as well. So a lot of people believe, you know, you're saving animals. Well, if you have a look at your farming agriculture for your carbohydrate crops, they are generally, the mass-produced ones that they're buying from are heinous for the environment. The amount of toxic sprays that are going back into the planet, animals are actually quite easy to grow. This is regenerative. If you have two pieces of land, say you have two islands, and one of them you're eating meat and your ground crops, and the other one it just has ground crops and there's absolutely no meat or no animals to give you milk or cheese or anything like that, I can tell you who's going to live longer and which one's going to prosper. because that's nature, you know?
And it's the one with the ruminant animals, the wandering animals.
Absolutely. And it takes a lot less toxicity, it takes a lot less poisons. I have a look at some of the pictures of the large canola crops in the States and then across Asia as well. The amount of toxins they have to put in to get those single, so monocrops, which are not the way that nature works. You know, we have weeds to bring nitrogen into the soil, all sorts of interesting things there. They absolutely rape that land and all the animals in it as well. In the States, there's been some really interesting research on different reptiles, different frogs, for example, who are around crops that are crop areas that are very heavily sprayed, and all the frogs are now female because there's so many estrogenic compounds. And so these populations of frogs are dying out.
Wow.
So if you truly want to save the environment, and I do that because a lot of people jump on bandwagons of stories that are being told without actually doing anything. I mean, I studied geography, I studied soils, I studied hydrology, coastal geomorphology, climatology. Like I said, it's always been an interest of mine. But a lot of things that you will hear on the TV, don't believe them. These people have no idea. I don't even know where they're getting news from. It's like Chinese whispers. One person said this, and then everyone else has believed it, and so they keep propagating that lie and keep telling it. If you really want to be good for the environment, grow your own garden. Know where your meat comes from. Butcher your own animals. Find co-ops of farmers. I just had some friends that were over in Australia, and they had the most beautiful time. Small village, I think it was about 5 hours away from Melbourne, you know, small town, a lot of family members there, and they all grew their own stuff and butchered their own stuff, and certain people grew these crops and they just bartered it, and they said the system was alive and well. And my friends had said, you know, have you guys heard about the scarcity of food coming? And they said, what do you mean? We literally grow all our own stuff here. So if you want to do good for the world, stop telling people not to drink from plastic straws or not to go on planes or whatever. I mean, have a look at what satellites do to the atmosphere and launching them, and yet we're just launching more and more and more and more. There's so many things that can be damaging to the world, but if you want to make a difference, your difference is by your example. Lead by example. Plant your own garden. That's find your own water. Understand where your food actually comes from. So we both know Joyce at IA Produce. Joyce is phenomenal. I could walk up to any single thing in her shop and I could go, where'd that come from? And she'd go, oh, that's my fig farmer mate from the Hawke's Bay, such and such. And he picked them yesterday morning and bought them up last night.
Wow, she's phenomenal. IE Produce is in Auckland and on the North Shore in Barry's Point
Road. Yeah, and she does it all online. I mean, I have friends all over the place that shop with her because she knows where stuff is from. Mm. I've had salespeople come in and she'll go, come and listen to this. And they'll say, oh yes, this is all New Zealand made and da-da-da-da-da and all sourced in New Zealand. She'll say, really? It says it has this sunflower, something or other in it. Where's that from? Is that New Zealand source? Oh, yes, it is. And she's like, well, there's no organic in New Zealand of this. Where would that be? Where's that farm? Like, she knows her stuff.
Yeah.
She knows her nutrition. She's one of the best nutritionists I know. And I've been practicing for over 20 years. For me, I have found when people, especially, it used to be a lot harder to find organics, whatever that meant at the time, biodynamic food, whatever. I just like to know where my food comes from. Mm. And people go, oh, I can't spend that much. And I had a couple, and it was some friends of ours, and they had a young kid, and they said, oh, you know, we went to your seminar and we need to go organic. We're really worried about how much we're going to spend. And I go, cool, here's the places to shop. Here's a great market. Here's what you're going to do and here's how we're going to plan it. After 2 weeks, they called and they said, we only eat half as much as we used to eat. Why aren't we hungry? Because you've got nutrient-dense food. You've got really good quality food that isn't on land that's just been overgrown, fertilized. Mm. It's actually been left to replenish. It's actually, you know, been raised properly. And so there's more nutrients in it, more density. There's no chemicals your body has to work against. So you've got more energy available because you're not detoxing all the time. And so by going organic, they were eating half as much. Bodies were looking better. Guts were feeling better. Everything was working well. And they were spending less money.
That's an incredible graph. So your eating better quality, you're losing weight and feeling healthier, and your spending is going down. That's yes. like the ideal yeah. equation.
Now, if you're not well, what else goes well in life?
Yeah.
So, again, I was brought up to believe that you sacrifice yourself. Mm. I had a mother who still to this day would sacrifice herself for anyone. She's got such a beautiful heart. And she puts herself out for others and did when we were growing up all the time. And that's how I was brought up. However, when things aren't good, you can't help anyone. So my first priority is to make sure I am well, because I really like to be of service. I really like to be able to help. And so to be well, I need to eat good quality food. I need to drink good quality water, and I need to be in a good quality state around people that I really enjoy. So that's really all I do with my life. And then people let me tutor around with them and change whatever we want and help things get better. And that's what I can do.
It's so, like you were talking right into me, because I was not focusing on being healthy. And I think a lot of people are not at the moment. I was focusing on, I'll get through, I'll help as many others
I'll
as I can.
I'll get through.
I'll get
when
through.
This
worst
happens,
line ever.
I can then, if that you are it. Waiting for something to happen, you'll be waiting forever. The future never gets here. You need to be really clear on that. You will never be in the future. So if you're doing things for the future, it's a waste of time. I'm not talking planting and the rudimentary things you've got to do. If I want to grow my own garden, I need to plant it. But I also need to be enjoying that time. Look at me in nature with my hands all dirty in the soil. This is great. Look at me watching this plant grow. Look at me harvesting the fruit, the food from those plants.
Yeah.
You know? It's like the, was it Henny Penny? Who goes, oh, I've got some wheat, I'm going to plant it. Cat, dog, rat, would you like to help me plant it? No, we're too busy. So she plants the wheat. And then she says, oh, you know, I've got some, the wheat's growing, I've got some weeding to do. Do you guys want to help me? And they go, no. Old children's book, isn't it? So she does the weeding. Then she goes, I've got to harvest the wheat. Can you guys, oh, no, we're doing this other stuff. So she harvests it all. Does anyone want to help me take it to market? To get it ground into flour. No. So she gets it ground into flour, brings the flour back and goes, does anyone want to help me bake this bread? No. So she bakes the bread, and then the bread smells beautiful, and the cat and the dog and the rat come along, and she says, would anyone like to help me eat this bread? And they'll go, oh yes, I would. And she goes, well, you can't, that's my bread. Right? But I would hope that she's enjoyed each of those parts of it, enjoyed harvesting it, enjoyed the process. There's something to be said. You know, I think you've grown your own vegetables before. When you, and my younger son, especially my older son used to too, but my younger son, Bo, will grow things and he'll come up and go, here, Mum, have some blueberries. And I'm sitting in the hot tub going, oh, this is great. Blueberries
is
in the hot tub. I'm loving this. There is something so beautiful. It's like my oldest son. He's saved up for a ute he really wanted, saved up for the flights, flew down. Hunter flew down to Nelson to pick up this bargain of a ute, managed to get a ferry ticket across on what, the one remaining ferry, I don't know what it was, drove it all the way back up here, teaching himself stick shift as he went. And he takes so much joy from that ute. It has pride of place in the driveway. He's done something to, I don't know what he does. But it's very different. I watch the kids who have just been given brand new cars or brand new whatever, really taken for granted, and there's not as much joy. Whereas I watch, when you do things for yourself, you're empowering yourself. Look what I can do. Look what I can create. Look what I can make. Look at us living off this. That's just another way to become self-responsible and self-empowered, so that it doesn't matter what the weather is. I went up to my organic herb lady, lady and man, Mandy and Craig the other day in Dome Valley. And
can we give them a push? Can we give them a put their number out underneath this?
If you look at organic herbs in Dome Valley, they'll come up. And
fantastic.
They sell in lots of places. They sell it, you know, Matter Carnival Square. They sell it at a bunch of Woolworths, all sorts of stuff. And they're amazing people. And she was just talking about the weather and how, you know, usually they'd grow all the flowers for weddings and whatever. Mm. But there's been so much of a downpour. So instead, we took all that out and we're planting this. So the weather doesn't change, she'll just grow to suit the weather.
Yes,
whereas so many
smart.
People stop their lives because of bad, well, until this happens, I can't do this. When this has happened, I can finally, No, if you're not going to do it today, you're actually not going to do it, and you're going to be saying the same thing at 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 until you die. That's... So either seize the day today and do what you want to do, or you're not going to live your life.
It's like being agile, light on your feet, light in life. I love going to the garden and picking raw rocket, just picking it and crunching it and thinking, I planted this. Raw celery.
And there's all the beneficial bacteria on it because it's still alive. Whereas when you're getting things from the supermarket, that stuff's been dead, sometimes in cold store for a long time. That's why people need probiotic supplements. Whereas if you can eat out of your garden every day, you've taken care of that need. You don't need your probiotic supplements anymore, right?
Is that right? That helps the gut microbiome.
Where do you think it comes from?
The soil.
We used to eat straight from the garden and straight from the tree and have our hands in the soil all the time. That's how we created our microbiome.
I had not thought of that.
So if you think it's natural for us to have to buy
probiotics,
you know, it's not. You can just get it from eating food normally.
Let's talk about sun on the head, the early morning sun. Why do I love that so much? It just feels like it wakes something in me, but I can't put my finger on that.
This would be a very long conversation in what I have observed from the sun. What I can tell you is the sun is a cure-all for so many things. There's a guy you can look up, Dr. Jack Cruz, a very cool American dude all about sunlight. And he's actually done research that shows that sunlight on the bare breasts can cure breast cancer, thyroid cancers, you name it, tooth conditions. What the sun does... One of the primary things that the sun does for us is it sets our circadian rhythm, our 24-hour rhythm of what happens. You don't want your body to be trying to grab snippets of rest and repair during the day. The rest and repair happens at night when the sun goes down.
Mm.
But if I stay up late watching screens, I'm getting blue light and it's telling my eyes are telling my brain, oh, it's the middle of the day. Don't get the repair hormones out, it's the middle of the day. So people who stay up late watching TV and watching their phones, within 2 hours of sunset, you should be calming yourself down and not having any bright lights around if you actually want to get full repair, or you can get some blue blocking glasses.
What is it with the blue light? Because we see those buses with all lit inside with blue and they look awful.
Well, remember blue light is what's coming out of LED lights, so it doesn't necessarily look blue. It's all your lights out of your TV screens, out of your, you know, big lights here, out of your phones. Blue light is part of the light spectrum that tells you that it's the middle of the day.
Goodness.
So watching a sunrise and a sunset actually resets your whole body so that the right things are happening at the right times.
It's like it recognizes that circadian rhythm. It reawakens it.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Think before electricity. People might hear the rooster crow or something and the bakers would go, oh, that's my time to get up. I need to get the bread kneaded so that by the time it's light and people are coming out, they can buy my bread.
Yeah.
And the sun would start to set and the street light guys would go around and go, oh, that's my time and I'm going to light my street lights. And humans were made to work off the sun patterns, the light and dark patterns, right?
Mm.
That's what we were made for. But now we have light. So we can just stay up all night and sleep all day with blackout curtains if we wanted to. But the sun really does have a lot of information. It looks like information can actually be carried by light to our DNA. I mean, technically we're made of photons. Technically we are made of light. Mm. Isn't that exciting?
Mm.
So then the sun becomes even more exciting. So in the morning, I love to see the sun come up if I can. If it's sunny, I will get out in the sun. Don't worry about sunscreen and stuff like that. Mm. Just if you feel you're starting to burn, realistically, you probably need more sun in your life. But if you feel you're starting to burn, get out of the sun. Mm. Put on a wide-brimmed hat. If you wear sunglasses, your eyes aren't telling your brain how much UVA and UVB is out there because the sunglasses have UVA and UVB filters. So then your brain doesn't know how much protection to put out, so you're going to get burned.
That is
sunglasses, right? So ideally, I just wear hats with a peak brim.
There are so many ways this could go, because if you have your eyes without sunglasses, does it strengthen the eyes? Is it really good for the vision?
For everything. Actually, if you watch animals will stare at the sun. My dogs go out onto the deck in the morning when the sun's coming up, and they just sit there and kind of stare at the sun.
And what were we told when we were young? Never look at the sun. It'll burn your eyes out.
So I actually stare at the sun every time it's in the day. Generally not at peak, but when it's at an angle, so morning or evening, I love to look at it. It's just beautiful.
What does that do?
In the morning, I believe it resets a whole ton of stuff in the body, and it's a practice, sun gazing, if people want to look it up. It's a practice I've been doing for a long time, and I still have 20/20 vision, and you know what I mean?
Susie, it gets back to that whole thing of what we've been told is often the opposite
of what is
the best for us.
You've got to understand what... We have a very commercialized culture. So the loudest voices are the commercialized voices, and they're trying to fill their pockets. That's what they're doing. So you have to decide in life, are you going to follow your moral compass and your personal passion, or are you just going to be told what to do? I know what feels better. I like to do what I want to do, and I will listen to others, absolutely. And that's how I've learned so much, by listening. But when it comes down to it, I'm going to go with what I feel. So you can tell me to put on sunscreen. I remember clients that I've had, some of my clients have been with me 23 years. And I remember clients in the beginning, and I've had this discussion with them too. 23 years ago, we have tanning competitions at the studio. We're like, who can get the brownest? We don't burn, we just get brown. And I had clients 23 years ago telling me, oh, in 10 years, you're going to be all wrinkles and this and that and da da da. I'm not. Why would I be? Don't put your fears into me. Your unfounded fears that you have no basis on. Wow. And sometimes people believe a certain cause and effect. Well, my mother had this from da da da. Have you thought that it could also be this, 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 this? Was she hydrated? Did she eat good quality protein? Did she have enough fat?
All the things we've talked about. It's
there's so many parts to it. There's so many parts.
Perhaps we can't finish this discussion without alluding to exercise. All of these could be a complete discussion on their own, but we are just trying to give a taster here. Exercise. What is a really good way if someone's being depressed, feeling out of sorts, and they're regretting they're sitting so much? You've often talked about too much sitting. Where do you start? What's a good starting point?
If you're feeling down, the best thing you can do to start is eat very high protein and fat in the morning and exercise at night. Eating good quality protein and fat in the morning. So for example, if you did sausages and avocado is a very good fat, high quality protein. Or if you did non-farmed salmon or tuna or dinner leftovers, just pick anything that had eyes and eat it. If you want fat and you can't eat chicken skin or whatever, if you don't want to eat the fat and meat, just have some tablespoons of a good quality coconut oil. Really easy to eat. There's no real taste to it. What that'll do is stabilize your blood sugar mechanisms through the day, and that means you're not going to have the crashes, the energetic crashes up and down, so you'll feel more stable. Exercising at night raises serotonin, and that's going to help you sleep. So those are the first two things we do for people who are feeling down, and within 3 days you should be noticing a difference. And that's simple to do, right?
Simple. And exercise can be walking. Doesn't have to be...
What's the best exercise?
Running, walking, stretching?
Sounds terrible. No, it's whatever you like. You like walking along the beach? Walk along the beach. You want to walk in the bush? Walk in the bush. You want to do 100 press-ups? Do 100 press-ups. It's whatever you like, mate. If golf is your exercise, golf is it. It's funny that I own an exercise studio and I'm not a fan of that. Not the Pilates. I love Pilates. After I broke my neck and did my shoulders and yada, 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 the whole Pilates, that completely corrected my body without surgery. Pilates is really what made me able to play with my kids and still snowboard and do whatever I wanted to do. However, there's something that in me that goes, oh, exercising for the sake of exercising. We should just be having fun. So I would prefer to take my exercise as looking at new things, walking around looking at new stuff. I'll take my exercise walking around an art gallery. I would take my exercise snowboarding. I would take my exercise doing fun stuff, swimming at the beach.
I think you've been known to take your exercise on dirt bikes, haven't you?
That's more bow. I can't hold on to a dirt bike at the moment. But yes,
but
that will be,
Susie,
by the end of the year.
That's a wonderfully liberating concept. What you enjoy.
What you enjoy.
Enjoy our lives. Be here
just
in this
move.
Moment.
How about lying down on the ground and trying to move your body in different ways? What happens if I pull my leg up? Ooh. What happens if I do this? What happens if I twist? What happens if I move this way? What happens if I twist my neck around? Oh, it feels great.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
You know?
Susie, it's just, I just think this discussion will give a whole lot of people a whole lot of different doorways into feeling better in their own bodies, and that's what I really wanted. I can't thank you enough. It's been a
little delight. Things. Little things practiced every day. It's all it takes.
Beautiful. Thank you, Susie.
Thank you.